Why stand still when you can run headfirst into a wall? You're listening to the Jocular Pugilists. All right, Tomas, I have important medical news that it's so important that I need to give you an update on what's going on with me. Okay? But before we do that...
That's wonderful. Did the doctor finally find you that new brain we're all hoping you're going to get? And while he's at it, he can tighten the bolts on your neck.
You're going to have to stay tuned to find out, but not that far off, actually. What's going on?
You know, because I mentioned Frankenstein, I have a good story for you, if you will. Years ago, I had to go to the doctor, and I didn't have a general practitioner at the time, so I had to find someone really quickly. I just had a panic attack, and I didn't know what it was. You know, sometimes you'll get a racing heartbeat, so I was worried.
And a goiter on your neck, but we could talk about that a separate time.
Yeah, right. It was big enough that I couldn't balance myself. But, you know, I think I'm okay. I don't need to see the doctor. Anyway, so the doctor I found happened to be from, wait for it, from Transylvania.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
Dr. Acula. And he was incredibly chill, by the way. He was so relaxed. And his waiting room was such a low-budget waiting room. It seemed like what I would assume a schoolroom in Transylvania in the 1940s looked like. And you know how doctors always have such huge staffs now? He had one woman, also from Transylvania, working, who was like, you know, you've come to see the doctor.
Was there a chalkboard where he's putting your
yes,
results up?
Yeah. Right. A dunce cap for people who've failed their medical exam.
Oh, greetings. It is I, the Count.
But he was incredibly chill. I remember I asked him, should I take my shirt off? And he was like, nah, that's cool.
But you have to bend over. That's great. That is awesome. Wow. Doctor from Transylvania. All right. Well, let me tell you what's going on. With me.
And Phil, before you get into it, don't be embarrassed. A lot of men have performance problems.
Dude, I don't, but funny you should, that is very relevant into this, in this story.
Okay, okay. You got the wrong medicine. Boy, this guy really likes grocery shopping.
It won't go down.
Is that
understand.
A banana in your pocket? Or do you really enjoy fruits and vegetables? Hey, buddy, enough. I told you the melons are ripe.
Well, so this is going to seem anticlimactic now, but it was actually...
Man. Why do you have to say that?
I think I brought it up before. I had very high cholesterol, and it was 2 years in a row. So the first year, it was pretty high, and he sounded the alarm. He said, look, if this gets higher, we're going to have to really address it. And then the second year, I came back, which was a year ago now, and my total cholesterol was 290, which is very high. That's starting to get dangerous. And the LDL, which is the bad cholesterol, so there's HDL, which is good, and bad is LDL. My LDL was 190, which is also very high.
Well, if that's high, what's normal?
That's a great question. So normal overall is less than 200. Borderline high is considered 200 to 240, and 240 and up is very high. And mine was at 290. So it scared me. He did a great job of scaring me, and he wanted to put me on statins. Now, I had heard a lot of bad things about statins, and statins are basically, they're a cardiovascular drug that they've found helps to lower the cholesterol, because cholesterol can be tied to your heart disease and that type of thing. It can clog your arteries, and there's all these different things that high cholesterol can do that are bad for your heart and bad for blood clots and strokes and all of that. It was scary. You know, I consider myself relatively healthy, so to have this news really freaked me out, you know? I said no to the statins because I'm scared of side effects. My opinion, it has always been, if you can stay off pharmaceuticals, you're better off for the most part. So I called my family and I started telling them what was going on. And my mom goes, oh yeah, I've been on statins for 30 years. I said, well, wait a minute, why? And she goes, oh, high cholesterol runs in our family. And I thought, you know, mom, I'm an older guy now. Like, wouldn't it have been a good idea to tell me that back when I could have done something about it, you know?
No, we don't talk about our health problems, Phil. Come on.
That's right. No, we don't. We definitely don't. Meanwhile, my dad died at 59. But okay, fine. I decided to go down the YouTube rabbit hole. Good idea or bad idea, Tomas? What do you think?
I mean, it can be a good idea. I mean, I think generally it's a bad idea, but you can find trustworthy sources on YouTube. You just have to remember them.
Yeah, that's the big question. There's so much out there. Like even on the in the fitness world and, you know, the medical world, all of it is so that you can find completely opposing viewpoints that sound right. If you watch both videos, do you know what I'm saying? So who do you believe?
Yeah.
Because it's super confusing, but I was really motivated to not go on the statins. So I watched a ton of videos from a ton of different doctors and a ton of different people who knew. Mm. And here's something else I was afraid of. High cholesterol, other than heart attacks and strokes, you mentioned can cause erectile dysfunction.
I didn't even know.
So I was really nervous about it because that particular piece of equipment is driven by blood flow. So if something is blocking the arteries and the blood flow, then you might have a problem.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I ended up finding a few things after a month of looking that seemed pretty safe and seemed pretty reliable. Now I'm going to show them to you. You know what? Let me grab them and I'm going to show you what I took.
Phil shops in the same Acme catalog that the Roadrunner gets all his supplies from.
I like the way that rolls out. Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
So the first things I took were these plant sterols and stanols, and they were kind of like chocolate gummies almost. Really tasty, but I was eating way too many of them. You're supposed to have 4 a day, and I'd take 20 because they just tasted so good, and it was my way of having chocolate without, you know, having chocolate. And they were also super expensive. So I ended up hearing about, in a few different videos, this thing called red yeast rice. Now, this is the one that I take. It's made by a company named Thorne, which I did a lot of research on, and they seem to be a pretty solid company. And you're supposed to take 2 a day, so not crazy. They're capsules as well. I was on the verge of ordering them, but I was kind of wanted to talk to some people to see if anybody knew anything. And then I heard an armchair expert, Dax Shepard, said, oh, I've been taking this thing called red yeast rice. It's dropping my cholesterol. And I thought, you know what? That's good enough for me. I've got a little confirmation bias. That's cool.
A trusted voice in medicine.
Yes.
Are there any other benefits of taking red yeast rice supplements?
Yes. So for people who have never heard of it, it's a Chinese medicine that's designed for low cholesterol, but it also helps with blood circulation and stomach digestion.
Are there any side effects?
Not that I know of. I haven't seen anything and I haven't been told anything. So I think, and I'll get to it, but the doctor actually said it was safe to take. So that made me feel better about it. But of course, it's already after a year after I've been taking it. So that's later in the story. But just know I don't recommend doing things the way I did in this particular case, because there's a lot of danger to taking stuff that you don't know a whole ton about, right?
So absolutely.
Anyway, that's a little disclaimer. All right, so, and the other thing I'm taking, and this I only started taking relatively recently, maybe a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. You only should take it really 3 months at a time, and you have to be careful about how much you take so that you don't overdo it. But it's called black seed oil. And so this one that I take is an organic, and it's a pure virgin cold pressed black seed oil. So it's in the liquid form, and you take a teaspoon of it every day for 3 months. Now this, I'm going to anticipate your question, what is it good for? It helps reduce acne, helps treat psoriasis, promotes healing of wounds, supports hair growth, helps to reduce inflammation. Now, that's where it's important when it comes to cholesterol and when it comes to heart disease and anything like that, cholesterol, cancer. Helps support weight loss, helps keep the blood sugar under control.
Seems amazing.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, but it's also not FDA approved. You know, all of these things that we're talking about, it's a real conversation about how the FDA works, and maybe we can get into that in another podcast. But all of this, this natural stuff, you know, it's not regulated. So you have to look at studies and talk to doctors and make sure that you're not doing anything to make any of your conditions worse when you take
this. Yeah, even if it is regulated, everyone's individual body might react to something differently.
That's right. That's right. And for some reason, your head is three times larger than the size it's supposed to be. Why would that be? What are you taking exactly?
That's a bloated ego.
So anyway, the last few months, I'm not going to go into detail, but somebody close to me had cancer. That also, because I was learning a lot about what feeds cancer and what it causes cancer, and I'm doing a really good job of eliminating sugar and salt.
So salt feeds cancer?
Salt is a problem for the heart and high blood pressure. And since I already had high cholesterol, my thought was, well, let me not tax my heart as much, you know? So this was just self-diagnosis, common sense stuff, you know? If salt's gonna raise my blood pressure and I already have this cholesterol issue that could affect my heart and my blood pressure, let me try and help out. So I reduced the salt. That was just my own thing.
Right.
Because this doctor kept pushing the statins, I was not happy. Now, he's a traditional medicine doctor.
Can I ask, was he older or younger?
He's a younger guy.
Yeah, just traditional. Okay.
Yeah. And so I wanted to find another kind of doctor who was a medical doctor who knows all the traditional medicine and also...
Not a witch doctor.
No. I've seen way too many sitcoms to know that witch exactly. doctor is not the way to go.
A moment longer, do not stay. Come to me, Dr. Bombay.
All right, child, open your eyes, stick out your tongue. No, don't, it's rude.
Oh, thank heaven you're here, Dr. Bombay.
Heaven had nothing to do with it, you naughty witch.
And when you went to the doctor, he said, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ping, pang, walla, walla, bing, bang.
That was a good sign that I should leave the office. Yeah. The cool thing is, a good friend of mine, Nathan, has a podcast called Saybrook Insights. He's the president of a university, Saybrook University, and they specialize in talking about integrative and functional medicine. So I got turned on to, all right, what's integrative and functional medicine? It's more holistic, and it sounded good to me when I was listening to the podcast. So I've always been into Eastern philosophy and medicine as a general principle. When I was in Boston, I found acupuncture. When I was in Florida, I found a Chinese herbalist. In LA, I've been involved with yoga and qigong. And so I just think they're great supplemental ways to stay healthy. And you know, these are civilizations and cultures that have been around for thousands of years, longer than we have. So they may know a few things, you know. So that's always been my thought process. So I wanted to learn about the difference between traditional, functional, and integrative medicine. So that's what we're going to really talk about today. This is a long way of building up to, hey, this is what I want people to understand.
Okay.
If they haven't tuned out by now. So when you hear traditional medicine, what do you think of?
What I grew up with. Western medicine, I think of.
How do you feel personally about Western medicine? What do you think it's good for, and where do you think does it fall short?
The older I get, the more cynical I become, because the Western medical system is so wrapped up in profits and money. I think far too often we treat the symptom through medication as opposed to get to the root cause of the problem. That's the problem, to me, with Western medicine.
Yeah, you and I are very similar then in that way. Now, if I get into a car accident or if I have a heart attack, I want to go to the hospital and I want traditional medicine, because crisis care, it's the best in the world.
Cutting edge. Yeah. And I bet you United States is one of the best, if not the best, for that, for crisis care.
Yes.
But for long-term preventative, I don't know. I'm a little too cynical.
Yeah. Yeah. You become skeptical. Exactly. Like, all right, let me see what else is out there. So that I don't have to go to the doctor. That's my whole thing. I'll go for the checkup, but other than that, I don't want to see the guy for another year. We're not best friends, you know? So the system, when I looked into it, when I really started thinking about it, the system, I think where it breaks down is it isolates specialties. And this, being in the hospital like I was for the month with this person that I love, I really saw it in action, where the different groups didn't really talk to each other the way you would hope that they would. So you have a heart doctor, you have a, you know, a gastroenterologist, you have a cancer doctor, and they will consult with each other, but they all look at things in a very isolated way. Mm. And that, to me, is maybe where the problem starts.
Mm. Yeah, well, even if you're in one office seeing one doctor, if the nurse or nurse practitioner does the initial checkup and doesn't communicate properly to your doctor what they find out, then you're not going to get the proper medical care.
Yes, that's so, so great. And, you know, God love people at the hospital who have to work there, because that is not an easy job. And I'm super grateful for them. Mm. But I saw things get missed. You know, medications that were supposed to happen at a certain time didn't happen.
It's, and it's tough.
It's not fun when you start realizing what it means to be at the hospital.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the other end of the spectrum, which is functional. So there's the three. Remember, there's traditional, functional, integrative. Integrative toes the line between the two, but let's talk about functional first. Functional medicine focuses on identifying and addressing the underlying causes of illness rather than just treating the symptoms.
Right. I like it.
Right up our alley, yes. The personalized therapies that target the root cause of the problem. There's special testing, and I think this is really interesting to me, that it is, they assess the imbalances in the body. So the way a functional medicine practitioner will look at things is, when the body is in perfect balance, you are healthy. And when anything is out of balance, it can affect all the other different systems in the body because they're all connected. And so one organ has some trouble, you're going to see it pop up in a lot of different ways. They go by an acronym called GOTOIT, which is basically gather, organize, order, initiate, and track. So you really have a relationship. If you go to a functional medical practitioner, first of all, some of them will sit down with you for 90 minutes.
That's amazing. Can I ask you, is that someone who's not a doctor or is a doctor?
They are doctors as well.
And Western medicine, they were educated?
So I was listening to an episode of that podcast I had mentioned, Saybrook, and there was a doctor who came right up through the ranks as a traditional medical doctor, and then went into special training for functional medicine. And that's typically, I think, how it's done.
Okay.
The idea is to restore maximum function between all the physiological functions in the body. And they typically start with gut health. And what's interesting about gut health is there's a lot of organs involved in gut health that you don't even think of. Like the liver makes bile that is used to help out the microbiomes that you have there. So I do believe in that. However, like we said before, particularly when my cholesterol level was that high at that point, I didn't want to just go functional. I wanted integrative. So integrative is sort of, you can look at it as the best of both worlds. If you like the principles of functional medicine, but you want to be supported by traditional medicine, then integrative is a great way to go. They will consider where you are as to whether they should be prescribing something more traditional or whether it's okay to go the natural route. And they're more likely to look at the natural route, and they have the same beliefs as a functional medical practitioner. So when I found the doctor, he started with the gut.
Okay.
So how did I find my guy? I Googled integrative medical practitioners, you know, functional medical, and I started looking around, and I started seeing reviews, and I found the UCLA Health. It's like a clinic that specializes in integrative medicine, and they are affiliated with the school UCLA and the hospital UCLA.
So your insurance would cover it, and they of course take insurance.
Absolutely. And what I didn't know at the time, this particular one is affiliated with the motion picture unions. That's where you get your medical care. I went to the clinic, two floors. It's a little run down inside. You know, when you go to the doctor or the dentist and everything's pristine and the walls
are... So it gave you pause when you saw this place.
Yes, it did.
Was Dr. Acula there?
I didn't ask for him, but it wouldn't have surprised me either.
Maybe moved to the West Coast.
Dr. Acula with his chalkboard.
Yeah. You've come to have your exam.
Do I have something on my neck?
Not yet.
I'm not going to say the name of the doctor, but I liked him very much immediately.
It was Frank and something.
Yeah, that's it. He was very aggressive with those bolts.
Doc, do I need these metal bindings?
Do I really need to be strapped down to a table? Yeah. And what are those lightning bolts for? What is all this electricity?
What's the electricity?
Yeah. It was odd.
The nurse practitioner was a guy with a really large hump.
You must be Igor.
No, it's pronounced Igor.
But they told me it was Igor.
Well, they were wrong then, weren't they?
He sat with me for a long time. I've never before have I ever had a doctor sit with me longer than 5 or 10 minutes. Spent at least 45 minutes with me.
Wow. Not the nurse. The doctor spent all that time. That's unbelievable. Yeah. I never hear that.
The assistant comes in and takes all the vitals initially, or the nurse practitioner. And then he came in and then sat with me for 45 minutes.
That's amazing.
It was so amazing. Not only that, he was able to pull all my old records. So I had just had a colonoscopy and the endoscopy. He was able to pull all of that information. He was able to pull the information from my other doctor who was recommending statins. Mm. And he was able to look at it and he broke down everything, every test result.
In front of you.
So that I understood what they were. He told me way more than the other doctors
did. I'm wondering how he could do that. How does he have time to see all of his patients?
My guess is that they're required to see fewer patients throughout the day.
Which is problematic because there's more and more people in the country. So
that's the only thing that I can think of. He kept asking me, do you have any more questions? Is there anything else you're concerned about? Like, it wasn't like he was racing to get out of the room, even at the end.
What a fantastic doctor. Wow. Very lucky.
I was even telling him about, well, you know, when I get out of the bed, sometimes my right heel is in tremendous pain and I have to walk it off. I'm like, is that anything that I should be worried about? And he goes, oh no, here, let me show you. And he brings his computer and he sits next to me and he goes, that's this. And here you can buy this roller for your feet. And I mean, you would have loved him. You would have absolutely loved him. Also, because he's integrative, he did say, you know, there is a reason this doctor was looking at statins. He said, you didn't need to take them at that level, but you're right on the edge. You're right on the border of you should probably be taking statins at that point. That is why integrative can be cool, because he understands why this doctor, the traditional medical doctor, is doing it the way they're doing it and doesn't disagree. He's just looking for ways that you can avoid doing that. And he said this during the appointment, I want to keep you off pharmaceuticals as long as possible. Mm. At some point, we all end up needing them, but I want to keep you off them as long as possible and keep you healthy. Boy, do I want to hear that. So then I told him about this red yeast rice. And I said, well, this is one of the things I've been doing, you know, over this past year. And he said, that's interesting because red yeast rice is part of statins.
It's actually in statins. Crazy.
Here's the good news and the bad news. He said, you might be able to drop, you know, 10%, 12% your levels, which would be good. It'd still be high. He said, but your problem is, first, it's you have the family history. I told him about that. And he said, also, I weigh 170. And for my height, that's kind of the perfect weight.
Yeah, you're 4'2".
Right. I'm round, but stocky. He said the problem is if you were overweight or if you were having health issues or, you know, or other things, your diet was bad, all these things, I could potentially see you bringing that number way down. Because you're healthy in every other way, you might not see great results. You know, you might see some.
I see. So weirdly, if you had gone to him and you were overweight and you had all these underlying symptoms that could be taken care of, in some ways, the news is even better.
Yes, exactly. He orders a bunch of blood tests, a urinalysis, so, you know, you have to take the cup, which I was not prepared for, so I had to drink a bunch of water and hope that it would go okay, you know. And by the way, you have to fast before they're going to take blood tests, so I hadn't eaten anything. This is like the middle of the afternoon at this point, and I'm getting kind of hungry, which led me to a poor choice after the appointment, but that's another story. We'll get the results in a few days. 2 or 3 days later, I set up a video chat with him. The amazing news that I've been dying to tell you is my overall cholesterol went from 290 to 218.
Wow, that's great.
It was a 26% drop. He was stunned.
That's fantastic.
The LDL, which is that bad cholesterol, dropped from 190 to 144. Those levels are still a little elevated. You want to be under 200 and you want to be the LDL, you want to be a little lower. So they're still a little high, but well out of the range of needing statins. Yeah,
comparatively amazing.
He said, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about getting it way down. So he was extremely pleased. And again, he wouldn't get off until he answered every question of the video chat.
That's great.
That's all you have to say. You find out I'm not dying, and that's what I get.
I've been
from
talking
you.
The whole time. Shucks. Oh, well.
Seriously, at least be upset about it or something. You know, certainly anything you do, you should talk to your doctor first if you're going to try any natural anything.
Yeah, and start things slowly, right? I would assume, like, if you're going to take red yeast rice, don't take the dosage. Take a very small amount to see how you react to it and then up the dosage.
Very good point. I wish I had said that, because that's exactly what I tried.
Can I ask you how much does it cost, these supplements?
The red yeast rice, I think, is around $47, somewhere around there. It's as 120 capsules, so you're taking 60 a month. So it's really 2 months worth. So it's not bad.
And obviously, things like supplements are not covered in your insurance. So you're buying it yourself.
That's correct, yeah. There's the rub. Thankfully, my insurance is doing a great job of covering the doctors, though.
What about the oil? I forget what it was called. The oil you're taking.
The black seed oil. I believe this is around $17, $19, mm-hmm. somewhere around there.
How long does it last?
It's already been over a month, and I'm still using it. So now I don't take that as religiously as I take the red yeast rice. And I also, if I forget a day on either one of them, it's not the end of the world. But I do try and be good with it, especially now that I know how well it's working.
So it's financially not that bad. Good benefits for you. Who knows other people, but for you personally, that's fantastic. What great news. Or like I said, oh, damn it.
Right. If somebody were to ask me about integrative and functional, I would say if you're feeling a little off, or you're concerned about a few things, but you're not in crisis, you're not, you know, doing horribly badly, I would say integrative is a great way to start if you want both. Or functional as well can be if you're not really having bad symptoms at all. But where functional can be really awesome is if you're pretty healthy already, or you just want to be healthier. It'll get you in balance and keep you there.
That's wonderful. I wonder if was there integrative medicine when we were younger? Did that even exist when we were younger?
I don't think so. And what we did have was Chinese medicine and Eastern medicine. But a lot of it, if you remember, when we were growing up, that was looked at as like really bad. Alternative medicines, really up until recently, maybe the last 20 years, were looked down on by the medical community.
You know, do you remember in Chinatown, these herbal shops having huge vats like of different herbs that I had never seen before, with signs on top of it saying back pain, headaches, things like that. But I never did anything. I never purchased any of them.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if somebody was going to go down the herbal route, I would say definitely talk to a trained Chinese herbalist, because some of that stuff is a lot stronger than you realize and can do some real damage if you're not taking it the way it's supposed to be taken and for what it's supposed to be taken.
Also,
for.
If you know nothing about it, my dumb Western head, I pictured it, you know, the Chinese herbalist putting it all into like a cauldron, like a witch, and stirring it up.
Double, toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
You know what, though? That's not far off. I mean, think of the herbal teas that they make, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Smaller pot, but still. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's wonderful that medicine is in some ways a little bit more open. I do think that the internet has a lot to do with that, because information is out there to challenge traditional Western norms, which can be good.
Can be great, and also can be dangerous. But for right now, I'm pretty thankful for it.
Well, I love how you broke it down. For crisis, definitely Western medicine. Of course, it's the best, of course. But if you're not in crisis and you want some options, it might behoove you to look at different types of medicine. It was helpful for Phil. Perhaps it would be helpful for you as well.
There you go. All right. Well, we are the Jocular Pugilists. Thank you for joining us for another episode. If you want to learn more about us, you can go to thejocularpugilists.com. You can also help us out by leaving a 5-star rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening from. And that's Tomas. Where can they reach out to us if they want to?
You can email us at thejocularpugilists@gmail.com.
Awesome. I hate to love you. My God, do I hate to love you.
You should see a doctor about that, Phil.
See you next time.
Finally made it to med school. Somehow I